Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
This spring, I had an opportunity to be a guest speaker for a mother-daughter celebration at a local church. I enjoy speaking opportunities whenever they come my way, but anytime I can talk about the importance of mothers and children in the same sentence, I jump at the chance. Mother's Day is a special time of the year to think about our precious mothers that the Lord has placed in our life by His sovereign hand. When I think about my mother, I am so thankful on many levels. She not only gave me life and unconditional love, and she prays for me and for the ministry of CEF to this very day, but also and most of all, what I will always remember, it is my mom who brought me to Jesus. Soon after my mom came to Christ in the early 1970s through a Billy Graham crusade, my mom had a deep burden for children to know Jesus. Because my mom had grown up as a child not hearing or clearly understanding the gospel that it was by faith alone and Christ alone as the only way of salvation, my mom wanted to make sure that her own children and all the children didn't grow up like she did without the knowledge of Christ. So my mom prayed to the Lord, "Lord, what about the children? Who's going to tell them?" Within a short period of time of my mom praying that prayer, perhaps even just a matter of days, someone came and knocked on her door. It was a Christian friend who wanted to invite my mom to attend a CEF Bible training class to learn how to share Jesus with the children. God had heard and answered my mom's prayer. To make a long story short, my mom ended up joining that CEF teacher training class where for over a year, she was trained by a CEF missionary, Margaret Ann Bash, who just happened to be home on furlough from overseas with CEF and just happened to live less than 4 miles away from where my parents lived in Northwest Ohio. But this is where my mom's testimony and my own testimony dovetails together. During the same time while my mom was learning how to share Jesus with the children, I started to attend the weekly CEF Good News Clubs taught by Margaret Ann Bash that was in her home, along with my sister and some other neighborhood children, beginning when I was 3 years old. For a whole year, both at home and at Good News Club, my heart and my mind was saturated in the gospel and learning about Jesus. One Sunday morning after church, I remember when I was 4 years old, my dad pulled into the driveway with our yellow car facing our yellow house and yellow barn, parked in front of our white-trimmed yellow garage, and then without missing a beat, my mom said to my dad and my sister, "I want you both to get out of the car because I want to talk to Katrina by herself." My dad and my sister quickly were booted out of the car, and I slid into the front passenger seat next to my mom, and right then and there, my mom asked me if I wanted to believe and trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know that I was a young child at 4 years of age, but I understood and I knew that I was a sinner, and I believed that Jesus is God's Son who died on that cross for me, for my sin. And I knew that it was only by believing, by trusting in Jesus alone, by His perfect life lived for me and His life given for me on my behalf, could I be forgiven of my sin and be made right with God to enter heaven. Looking back, it's amazing to me to see how God put all these events together by His sovereign hand. I know and I believe and see that salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end, but I also know and believe and see that God sovereignly used people in my life, like Margaret Ann Bash, but particularly my mother, to bring me to Jesus. Praise the Lord. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13 and 16, we have recorded for us an account of other mothers, just like my mother, doing the same thing. They were burdened in their heart to bring their children, even their young little children, to Jesus, just so that the children would be near Jesus so He could touch them, bless them, and even pray for the children. Mark 10 says, "And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, truly, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.' And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them." Now, this is such an important account. It is repeated in all three of the four Gospels, the synoptic, seen-together Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That means that what happened here in this account is very important, and we need to understand the overall message that Jesus is for children too. I've known about this account, it seems, my whole life, but not so much because of the written words, but because of the picture that comes to my mind's eye every time I think about this passage. I remember growing up going to church, and down in the basement in our children's church room, there was a big brown picture frame hanging on the wall, and it was depicting this very scene right here in Mark 10 of Jesus with the children gathered all around him and Jesus blessing them. Every time I looked at that picture as a child, I remember thinking to myself, Jesus loves children. Well, that means Jesus loves me. Jesus is for children too. But how do we know that Jesus is for children? Because Jesus said so. First, Jesus said clearly, suffer means let. He says, let the little children come unto me. Well, why did Jesus have to say that? Well, obviously, it was because not everyone believed that children should come or could come to Jesus. But who could possibly think that? Jesus' own disciples. In verse 13, it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. The disciples themselves did not understand this basic biblical truth that Jesus is for children too. Instead of welcoming children and receiving children to come to Jesus, like Jesus had just told them to do earlier in Mark chapter 9, when Jesus said, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, it seems the disciples were doing the exact opposite and were putting on their orange vests and were running interference and were not only preventing the little children from coming to Jesus, but also rebuking the parents, rebuking the mothers for even wanting to bring their children to Jesus. But is this something that only happened back then, or do we as disciples of Jesus today do this day now? Sadly, the answer is yes, but often we do it in more subtle ways. We celebrate when a teenager or a college student or even a full-grown adult comes to Jesus, but we sometimes question when a child, especially a younger child, comes to Christ and believes on Jesus. We may not say it out loud, but oh, we think it. And we often have this wait-and-see attitude instead of a celebration, a welcoming attitude that Jesus wants us to have concerning children and salvation. I remember when my nephew Cody was 3 years old, he came and visited Ohio with his mom, my sister, from their home in Colorado. Well, at a local fair, they stopped by the CEF booth, and Cody, at 3 years of age, heard the gospel story using the colors of the wordless book, gold that stands for God in heaven, dark for sin and separation from God, red for Jesus, who Jesus is and what Jesus did, and that clean color for the representing the forgiveness of sin and gift of eternal life, and then green for growing in Christ. At the end of the presentation, Cody was given a gospel bracelet with those same colors to remind him of the message that he had just heard. Well, a year later, when Cody was 4 years of age, my sister told me that he came bounding down the stairs one morning into the kitchen and said to his mom, my sister Chrissy, while holding that same gospel bracelet in his hand that he had just happened to find in his room, he said, Mommy, what do these colors mean? I can't remember. My sister about dropped her mouth open and stopped and called me right away, and together on the phone, we walked through the message of salvation using the gospel colors. And later that day, my nephew, her son Cody, believed on Jesus at 4 years of age. Praise the Lord. But you know what? My sister didn't stop there. She wanted Cody to come and talk to the pastor to share with him what he had just done. And the pastor immediately affirmed Cody. And the next Sunday at church, they celebrated Cody's salvation in Christ and had him come up and tell everybody that he now believed on Jesus. And they gave him his own picture Bible and they lit a candle as a birthday celebration to celebrate his spiritual birthday in Christ. But you know, that's not the end of the story. On the way home, as Cody was riding in the back seat of the car, he was flipping through his new Bible book and came across a picture of David and Goliath. And he looked at it and then he said, Mommy, David had a good heart, but Goliath, he had a bad heart. He needs to believe on Jesus too. Oh, out of the mouth of babes, the spiritual understanding of the gospel is proclaimed and heard. Praise the Lord. And that's the way it should be. We should be welcoming children, receiving and encouraging children, and celebrating with our children as they come to Jesus, remembering that Jesus is the one who said, let the little children come unto me. Jesus is for children too. Why? Because Jesus said so. Jesus said, let the children come to him, but also Jesus said, and forbid them not. In verse 14, the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus was much displeased with his disciples for not only their blocking charade, but also because they were rebuking, they were forbidding the parents, the mothers, from bringing their children to Jesus. Instead of welcoming the children in, the disciples were instead shutting the children out. When COVID first hit in 2020, it was heartbreaking to see churches and ministries shut down and children shut out of Sunday school or any face-to-face formal Bible teaching, even though I completely understood the situation. But as time went on, I think what broke my heart even more is when I began to see that children were taking the brunt of this COVID situation. Not only were their schools and sports schedules not restarting and they were shut out of that, but even with churches that began to open up months later to have the adult church, you know, the big people's church, but the children were still shut out of coming to Sunday school or children's church, or were even prevented from their regular children's ministry in some churches and even in some countries around the world for over a year. In Uganda, for example, in East Central Africa that I've visited many times, the spiritual block against children was even more blatant. The government actually forbid children ages 12 and under to be even allowed to come to church. Only adults could come, and the children were told that they had to stay home and they were not able to come. My CF missionary friends in Uganda also shared with me that the children were also forbidden to gather in groups even outside, and no Bible teaching was allowed to happen even outside for over a year. Prior to COVID hitting, some of you may know that our CF of Illinois staff was planning to go to Uganda on a mission trip. We had an open invitation by a government official to enter into 147 schools in her district in East Central Uganda and come and share with the children about Jesus right in the school during the school day. Before COVID, over 1 million children were hearing the gospel annually by the CF national workers in Uganda, and most of that took place in the public schools. As far as I know, to this day, children in Uganda are still shut out of the gospel from their churches and their schools, and currently no outside visitors or even the CF missionaries are allowed to come in yet. I see this as nothing less than a spiritual attack of the enemy against the children to shut them out of hearing the good news of Christ. We need to see that we are in a spiritual war. We are not fighting, though, against others or even against these crazy COVID rules, even for children. We have one enemy of the gospel, and it is Satan, who is seeking to block the children and forbid the children from coming and knowing Jesus. But praise God, we know how the story ends, and we know that Satan will not succeed. Why? Because Jesus is for children too. Jesus not only said, "Let the children come to me and forbid them not," but Jesus also said the reason why children can come to him and the reason why we should not forbid them, because Jesus said, "For of such is the kingdom of God." What Jesus said here is not complicated, it's simple. Jesus said that the kingdom of God belongs to, is part of, consists of children too. In other words, Jesus is for children too because the kingdom of God is for children too and must be received by all, Jesus said, in a childlike, believing, trusting faith. This is the same teaching that is not only found in all three synoptic gospels, but also in the gospel of John, where Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:3, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot even see the kingdom of God." The reason why Jesus is for children too, and why the kingdom of God belongs to children too, is because salvation is not or never will be about human intelligence, high academic biblical knowledge, or even about age, but it's all about the quickening power of the Holy Spirit who draws his people unto himself and gives to them, and yes, even to children, both the grace to believe and the faith to believe, to trust in Jesus alone for salvation so they can enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, absolutely. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. But also, God uses people like you and like me and our persistent, patient, and prayerful mothers who are burdened in their heart to bring their children to Jesus. A few years ago, I came across the story of William McKay, a Scotsman who grew up in a Christian home and had one of those praying, persistent, patient mothers who always pointed him to Jesus. His mother did everything she knew how to do to bring her son to Jesus, but it broke her heart because he had continually refused. Fearing for him as he went off to college without knowing the Lord, his mother gave to him a Bible and wrote his name in it, her name, and the date in the flyleaf as a sending-off gift. McKay grudgingly took the Bible from his mom, but it was quickly stowed away and put with his other belongings out of sight. Soon McKay fell into bad company as he went off to college and became a drunk. One evening, when he couldn't even have two coins to rub together and was penniless, he pawned off his Bible that his mother had given him just to buy another drink. But even though McKay was a drunk, he was smart. He excelled in school, went on to graduate school, and became a renowned physician surgeon practicing at the most prestigious hospital in all of Scotland. Yet even though he was smart, he was a spiritual fool. He completely renounced his Christian upbringing that he learned from his mother and rejected God's existence and joined an atheist club. One day, a man was brought to the hospital who was badly injured. McKay, the renowned surgeon, took one look at him, minced no words, and told the man that he was dying right then and there and that nothing could be done. The man was shocked, but then accepted the fact and quickly asked, "Please send someone to retrieve my book. I must have my book." The dying man persisted so much that Dr. McKay ordered it to be so, and the book was brought to the dying man and was placed into his hands. McKay left the room, while the dying man clasped the book, thumbed through its pages one last time, and then placed the book underneath his pillow where he rested his head, closed his eyes, and died. An hour or so later, the room was cleaned and sanitized, and McKay came back into the room. But he wanted to know, he demanded to know what was so all important about that book. He said to the nurse, "Why did that man want that book so badly? Was it his checkbook or date book or something?" The nurse said, "No. See for yourself. The book is still under the pillow where he died." McKay lifted up the pillow and took hold of the book, but with one look, McKay was visibly startled and began to shake, for he recognized its cover. He flipped open the inside of the jacket in a hurry, and there he saw his name, his mother's name, and the date written by his own mother's hand. This was his book, the very book, the Bible that his mother had given to him so long ago that he had given away. McKay picked up the Bible, tucked it under his white coat, and quickly left the room and went to his office, where he almost slammed the door and fell to his knees. He could deny that God existed no longer. He knew there was a creator. He knew he was a sinner, and he knew that he needed Christ. Bible verses that he learned long ago, taught to him by his beloved mother, flooded into his mind and heart. Right there and then in the doctor's office, William McKay came to Christ. Yes, by the work of the Holy Spirit and God's amazing grace, but also, yes, by the persistent, patient prayers of his mother, who was burdened in her heart that her child would know Christ. You could probably guess the end of the story of William McKay's testimony from here. Soon after, he resigned his prestigious surgeon's position, enrolled in seminary, and became a beloved pastor, author, theologian, and even a hymn writer in Edinburgh, Scotland. And in the church to this day, we still sing many of his songs. William McKay was brought to Jesus all because of God's grace alone, and all because also of a burdened mother who believed that Jesus is for children too, including her fully grown son. Praise God for our mothers. Praise God for their prayers, patience, and persistence. And praise God for the simple message of salvation, because Jesus is for children too.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.